about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. We're cooking quinoa. We're gonna start over on the counter, and I'll talk you through it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I walk around town with my fanny pack. You know I've got it on when you hear the snap of the buckle around my waist. Click. And now my fanny pack is in your face, and it's stretchy. It's made of elastic. My fanny pack is fanny pack-tastic. My fanny pack is cool. Everybody tells me that my fanny pack rules. My fanny pack. My fanny pack.
My fanny pack is cool.
And now.
So wait, hang on. I don't care at all.
Our feature presentation.
I need a fanny pack now, I think.
Yeah, right? You sold me.
Well, they're cool.
That's a strong song. Who is that?
Well, that's our good friend Rappy McRapperson, and who we met because he did some work with Wing back in the day. And do yourself a favor sometime, if you got a little time, head on over to Spotify and just enjoy some Rappy, because he's got a lot of good songs.
Rappy McRapperton.
Rapperson.
Rapperson. Oh.
Don't be ridiculous.
I apologize.
Yeah, dumb name.
To him and his fans.
But he's a very talented guy, and I wanted to lay that tape down for the next time we have Joe Rogan in, because I feel like that's going to be his John.
I'm not positive that we need to make that happen, that whole John thing. I think that already happens
really?
In Philly,
uh-huh.
And I think it should stay in Philly.
Okay, you should. Know.
Well, yeah.
But I think he just used it perfect.
He did.
I think it was correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And Ralph's enthusiasm is kind of inspiring to me. He gets so much joy out of jawning here and there that I thought maybe I could try jawning.
Well, now I think you're using it more
incorrect.
As a verb.
Right.
So,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday. We do have a big show today. And I was going to save this story for the next What's Up with Florida, but although the man is a Floridian, or a Floridiate, if you will, it actually did happen in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Okay.
So I'll use it here. A 23-year-old who is at Derrier's, I guess, Gentlemen's Club.
Okay.
On Seaboard Street in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And he gets into some sort of an altercation with a stripper. His version of the story is that she was annoying him because she kept trying to talk to him. His response to her, though, was to tell her that she should go to the gym and lose some weight.
Oh,
wow.
What a dick.
Now, that's just bad form.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? I just feel like there is a special subset of women who, if they are willing to get naked for you, whether you're paying for it or not, the deal should be you don't make fun of their body.
Maybe don't make fun of their body, period. Put it out there for
some
everyone.
Some women deserve it. But I'm saying if a woman is willing to get naked for you, I feel like that's when you should be as kind and as complimentary as possible. And if you don't have something nice to say, this is where your mom's adage from when you were a kid should come in to your head, which is you just don't say anything at all. She's naked, right?
Right.
Yeah, so don't tell her to go to the gym and lose some weight.
Ugh.
The dancer then reached off the stage and struck the victim 4 times in the face, and the bouncers dragged him out of the club and were unnecessarily rough with him, he claimed. Now, the victim did tell police that he was intoxicated, rating his level of drunkenness as an 11 out of 10.
Ooh.
When asked if he could identify the suspect that struck him, he described her as a white female, about 115 to 120 pounds in weight, with long black hair and a muffin top. So he's really not letting go.
Wow.
A muffin top, as the description.
Wow.
What a dick.
He is not going to stop making fun of this poor stripper.
Man.
Police observed signs of injury consistent with being struck. The victim claimed that the stripper was wearing a ring while she hit him, which contributed, by the way. The victim told the police that after taking a night to think about what happened, he decided to contact police and report it, but he did not want to pursue any charges against the dancer. He wanted nothing other than to file the report. I wonder why, if he didn't want to file charges, he wanted to file a police report.
I don't know.
There was, they did contact a witness who said the dancer, he did see the dancer strike the victim in the face, but did not hear what was being said. So I don't know whether there'll be any more to this story, if they're just going to leave it there, but I hope that he just stays away from Derriers in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, maybe finds himself a new dance club.
That's
bad,
crazy.
Bad form. That's bad all. Form,
yeah. Described all, her so. Height, her hair color, and muffin top.
Her muffin top.
Wow.
Yeah. That guy's got it all.
Yeah, he does.
He's a good dude. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
Well, you know the old expression, nope.
Old-timey bean is a thing.
Oh,
how
it is.
Dare you?
Ever since I've known Bean, I assume Bean was born 80 when he was 2. Like, you know, when he was 1 year, when he came out of the womb, he was on par with senior citizens. Talks to him, talks that way, loves it. Never was the same age as his peers. Is that correct?
I doubt I was born at 2.
You know
or,
what I mean.
Or 1. You're
you know what I mean. When you were born, and okay. 1, 2, 5, 7, 10, 15, okay. You were never...
I've always been older than my age, is what you're
by
saying.
By 60 years. Yes. So, old-timey Bean, we keep a file when he uses words that really nobody uses anymore and maybe hasn't in 50 years. And we're going to play some of them for you today.
Nice.
It's quite fun. We have another Miss Double December contestant in studio.
Yeah, we do.
You can still vote, by the way. You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and vote on that. We have a little fellow by the name of John Stamos. He's got that show, Grandfather.
He's pretty dreamy.
He is dreamy.
He's not aging.
No.
Nope.
It's bizarre.
I think it's some kind of satanic ritual.
I think
I'm
so,
sure,
too.
I'm sure people bring that up to him all the time. Yeah. Him and Rob Lowe both. What is the deal with those two?
We're going to talk to Petros Papadakis.
He is not aging.
USC coach. What?
Just kidding.
Petros?
No, I'm just kidding.
Just clarifying to make sure that we were on the same page there. And also, we have your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Got those coming up as well this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
He doesn't listen, does he, Chip?
Nope.
Okay.
Did you say Bean was going to come out of the song?
Yeah.
Is that what
yeah.
I heard just
that's
moments
Chip,
before the
That's what Chip told Kevin.
Live?
I'd say not even moments. I'd say 20 seconds.
So what did you decide just, to do then? When that was told to you, what was that thought process?
Oh,
that's what I want to hear, too, the thought process. How do you
so
get from
the,
A to
the
B?
Information, Chip says right. to you, oh, Bean wants you to know he's going to come out of the song. You go, oh, okay. And then the microphones go live, and you go, let me think. Bean come out to me. Must be me. This is K-Rock in the morning.
It's cute that you guys think I have a thought process.
Well, what is it? What happens? If it's not a thought process, then what happens?
What happens is you just go by the way things always are. You just go turn on the mic, start talking. Let's go do this.
Sure, if nothing is said.
Right,
but,
no.
But that what she said should interject into that.
It was less than 5 seconds from the time she said it to the time you started talking. Now, Ralph heard it.
I heard it.
Allie heard it.
Oh,
I heard it.
Yeah.
I acknowledged it, too. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
You shook your head yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then what?
Yeah, I can't answer. You know, I don't know.
I want you
That's
to leave here right now and go get a CAT scan. Just get out. Get out and go get some sort of scan.
I'm sorry. That one's on me.
Oh, it's on you.
Okay.
I'm going to take credit for this mistake, and I'm going to say I apologize. That's on me.
Wow, right? It's big of you to just step up and take the blame for someone else.
That's my bad.
Madness.
All right. It's a Tuesday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Now, you missed something really awesome, by the way, that you would have heard, but I guess you don't want to hear it, so that's fine.
I want to hear it, Bean. I want to hear it.
It's too late now.
No. Please,
the moment's been ruined.
Please.
It's been ruined now.
Please.
Maybe later.
Oh.
Maybe later if Kevin is good.
Maybe not.
This is
Maybe
why we can't later. Have nice things, Kevin.
Exactly.
Because of you.
Now, Kevin, God damn it.
Now whatever magic Bean had cooked up is lost for the ages.
Hey, you don't know, man. It could have been funny.
Mm. Yeah, I've been here a while.
Kevin, God damn it.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Hey, congratulations to Jordan Peele, one of my faves. I had no idea he was even dating Chelsea Peretti of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but he proposed to her over the weekend.
Yay!
Ralph, I was with you. I said the same thing off air yesterday, as I had no idea, and Allie thought I was stupid because apparently it's been common knowledge for a long time.
Well, Allie's got a lot of free time to...
I didn't know that.
I'm up on my comedy couples.
To chart who's dating whom, and I'm sure there's some sort of bar graph at home, and it's got one of those walls with photographs and just the red thin yarn that goes from pin to pin, and it's just, it looks like...
It's got like a homeland wall.
Yeah.
It's true. Right.
Just...
Somehow a giant X over him because she's angry, mad about what went on.
It's tragic.
Wow. Ugh.
And yet thorough.
I love that couple together, don't you?
I do. I think they're terrific, and I want, and I'm looking for my invitation in the for the wedding soon.
All right.
I should get an invitation, right?
Sure.
We're tight. Me and Peel and Peretti.
Yeah. I'm not sure tight.
Well, I've met one of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Briefly.
Is that tight? Define tight.
I guess you're right. Now that I look back on it. Hey, this Adele woman. Anyone know anything about her?
I think she's from England, maybe, and she sings.
She used to sing.
Apparently, she's still singing.
Oh.
Her album, now, as of today, has broken the 4 million copies sold.
Well, it's been out for, what, 10 days?
Yeah.
Weren't they amazed when it was approaching 2 million?
Yeah.
Like, no one does that anymore?
Yeah, it moved almost 3.5 in its first week, which ended on Thanksgiving. It has since sold an additional 500,000 copies, breaking the $4 million mark.
Wow.
Let
me ask a question. Do you guys think it's anything other than the song Hello? Like, do most people know any of the other songs on the album, or is it just the Hello is such a smash?
No, it's not. I mean, that of course, that helps. The song's great, but she has a track record of putting out excellent albums in the past. She's a trusted brand.
I think
People bought 21 and loved it, so they're excited for whatever her next record is, which is 25.
I think it's her charm, though, too. I think
for sure.
Whenever you see her interviewed or you watch her live, you're like, wow, she is just terrific.
She's terrific.
And I think people are excited by it. They're expecting it will probably sell another million by this Thursday.
And then people start Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Right?
And then there's that. That'll be a couple of million.
So that's kind of nutty.
Well, her last album sold what, Ralph? 30 million?
I don't have the information here, but that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, I mean, this one is going to sell and keep selling.
As I mentioned yesterday, her last album, 21, is back in the top 10 at number 9 on the charts. People are buying that in droves as well. So, good for her. While we're talking about Brits we like... How about that Florence and her machine? How about them? You know you've made it big when you get to headline London's Hyde Park Summer Festival, and that's just what Florence and the Machine are doing. The band will play the British Summertime Hyde Park Festival on July the 2nd. Next year, Kendrick Lamar is also on the bill. The rest of the lineup will be revealed soon. While we're talking about music, Jane's Addiction guitarist Dave Navarro is the subject of a new documentary. Morning Sun is the name of it. It deals with the murder of his mother back in 1983 and how he was able to get through that unbelievable pain.
Dude.
The film is available today on video on demand on iTunes. If you're a Jane's fan or a Dave fan, you want to check it out. Apparently, it's really well done. So, want to give you a heads up. Speaking of things available today, Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse, is available on DVD today. It is new release day. Other movies you may have missed that you want to check out. Some Kind of Beautiful with Jessica Alba and Pierce Brosnan and Salma Hayek, which I saw and really thought it was kind of charming. So if you're looking for a romantic comedy, that's a good one. And Cooties, also available on DVD today. That's the one about the kids who become zombies when they butt each other. And all the teachers are trapped in the school. Jack McBrayer, Rainn Wilson.
Kevin saw it.
Like I didn't, but I wanted
you would.
To. Still might.
Not if someone tells you to see it. You won't. I just do what I normally do, not see it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Woody Allen is 80 years old today. 80 years old.
Wow.
The Wood Man. Still pumping out a movie a year. Still knocking him out.
Yeah, he's not slowed down at all.
Still writing scripts out by hand on legal tablets, by the way. That's how way he works. It's madness.
Imagine
he's got a typewriter. He's got a typewriter and a legal pad, and that's how he writes all the screenplays.
Imagine writing
casting, directing, editing, and releasing a movie every single year, Kevin, for like 60 years.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's crazy.
For 60 years? Did you say 60 years?
Or whatever, it's been 50-something. I mean, however long he's been making movies.
Not 60 years. That would have made him 20. It would be his first film at 20.
Maybe it's 50-something years. And I'm saying the man's been prolific for a very long time. That's all.
He must be unhappy.
Why?
Because he fears death more than anything else in the world. Now he's 80 today. Mm. If you're a guy who's not, who's deathly afraid of death, and you turn 80, you got to know. Hello, Grim Reaper, can I come in? I don't want to be that guy. It's funny because they always said, don't worry, you know, because you will live on in your work. They always say Woody Allen. And he always says, I'd rather live on in my apartment. Sorry, that was John Densmore, 71 years old today from The Doors. Bette Midler, Kevin's favorite, 70 years old today.
I do love her.
Sarah Silverman's 45. Brad Delson from Linkin Park is 38. Akiva Schaffer from Lonely Island's 38 as well. Janelle Monáe celebrates her 30th birthday today. Singer Vance Joy is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm going to sing that all morning.
Sorry, I thought that was over. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:07.
Is that the video you like, Kevin?
That is the video that I love. Because
it's
all
got monkeys in it.
Chimpanzees. Pretty strong.
It's great.
Mm. Pretty much breakdancing, right?
Yeah, they're grooving.
They are grooving.
They feel good.
All right, check that out. Hey, welcome into a Tuesday morning. A lot of program coming up later on today, including your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is not this weekend but next, so stick around for that. Details at KROQ.com. Right now, how about a little Real King Fake King? Broadcast legend for many, many years. Decades he had a radio show, and then for decades after that he had a TV show, and now he's got an internet show. The guy just will not lay down and die. He insists on talking, and he insists on tweeting too, and that's why we have some fun by reading Larry King tweets. They might be real Larry King tweets. If they are, here's the sound you'll hear.
Will Glenda be there?
And if it's just a made-up tweet to sound like Larry, this will be the sounder.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
All right, so we're going to go around the room and see who does well. Who generally wins this game? Who's the reigning
Ralph
champion?
Ralph usually wins
pretty
everything.
Pretty much Ralph, yeah.
Split up.
Yeah.
I think it's
Ralph's pretty good
split.
At guessing games. All right, Kevin, you get to go first. Here's the first tweet. Is it real Larry or is it fake Larry? I've always loved Fig Newtons.
I've always loved Fig Newtons. That's real. That's real.
Who doesn't love a Fig Newton?
Right?
What?
Oh, they're gross.
Fig Newtons are awesome.
They taste like chalk.
What?
Oh, they're so like dry.
Oh, wrapped in delicious velvety vanilla cake.
Really? Okay.
I want to know where Allie's buying her chalk because it sounds good.
I say yes, Real King as well.
It's definitely real. Cause old people love Fig Newtons.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow, very impressive,
all right, you guys.
Yeah.
All right. I still think America the Beautiful should be our national anthem. I still think America the Beautiful should be our national anthem. I believe, Ralph Garman, you have the board.
I don't think Larry thinks there's anything wrong with our current national anthem. I don't think he, I think he might love that song, but I don't think he was, he doesn't want an uprising. He doesn't want a rebellion. He's not a rebellious guy. Yeah.
Old people don't like to change things.
I say fake king. Fake.
Fake King. All right, Allie.
I think a lot of people wish it was our national anthem,
okay.
Including
Is he
Larry.
One of them? Yeah, okay.
Real King.
I'm going fake.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow, Real King. Yeah.
Real King indeed. Wow. All right. Allie, you're up next. Real King, Fake King. Does anybody still say howdy? Does anybody still say howdy?
That's Fake King. Because really, who cares?
Larry, real.
But true. That's true. fake.
I'm saying real because Larry cares.
I don't think howdy is a name, as a word that has entered Larry's life a lot. He wasn't on the range. He wasn't punching doggies.
Were you there? Old enough to have settled the West, though. He may have been one of the first Easterners to come to California.
I'm going to say fake King.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah. Very impressive. Nice. Ralph. Baker. Good at this game.
It's a faker.
Kevin, I think you're up first, right?
Yep.
All right.
Allie's in the lead. She wants you to know that. She's making all kinds of gestures off the air that she's actually in the lead. So she's really good at this game, B. She was upset by that comment.
Tragic. Kevin,
the woman is tragic.
Should we call Dr. Drew?
Yeah, we should. Someone should be alerted.
Inform him.
Let's get a billboard.
Let him know off the air. Real King, Fake King, Kevin, is there an Old Hampshire? Is there an Old Hampshire?
Is there an Old Hampshire?
Whoever wrote this one should get punched right
Agreed.
In the nose.
And I think
it's
Bean
or Larry.
And I think it was Bean trying to trick us. So it is fake.
I would like to think it's Bean because I would like to punch him in the nose. So I'm going to say Fake King as well.
I'm going to say Real King because he would say that.
Will Glenda be there?
That is Real Larry King.
Damn it.
So that means you're going to have to punch Larry King in the face the next time
true.
You see him.
All right.
All right, Ralph, you are up next. I like the feeling of a baseball cap on my head. I like the feeling of a baseball cap on my head. Real Larry King, fake Larry King.
This one, I know. But Ralph's up.
Well, you certainly are good at the game.
No, I don't.
I don't think I've ever seen Larry King wear a baseball cap once in any photograph ever. If he really enjoyed that, wouldn't he put it on once in a while if that was the case? I say Fake King.
I feel like at Dodgers games, he's kind of slumped over, and I'm picturing a hat on him.
Okay. Right. Have you ever seen it? Or you're just...
I am picturing like a blue Dodgers jacket all
this,
slumpy.
We're doing this life regression with you.
I'm going to say Real King.
I'm going to say Bean knows that he loves baseball a lot, so he's going to try and trick us with the baseball hat, and I'm going fake.
Will Glenda be there?
Damn it! Kevin, you think way too hard about this game. Allie, you're absolutely right, and Ralph, this is why you didn't know, because you don't watch baseball, but Larry is often behind home plate during a Dodger game wearing a baseball cap, usually one that's advertising Aura TV, his internet network that he's on.
What's the score?
But he wears baseball caps.
I've got 5. Ralph has 2. You have 1.
Wow.
All right.
Allie's really good at this game.
Allie, you're so good at this game.
Oh, my God. Thank you for nothing.
All right. Let's go around. Well, let's finish this and then one more round real quick. Allie, I think you're up first. I've never known a knitter.
Excuse me?
I've never known a knitter.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. Fake King. He's old timey. People knit all the time when they're old at appointments and stuff.
He is married to a teenager, though. Remember that.
That is
true. I've never known a knitter. You say Fake King.
Fake. I'm going to say fake as well. I think Larry knits. That's why himself.
I don't think he does. He's always been a very metropolitan, cosmopolitan kind of guy. And knitting is, I don't think, something.
What about needlepoint? You think he does that?
No, I think he's hanging out at the Cordon Bleu. Or the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami when he got started.
Is New York, D.C., yeah. Miami, and Los Angeles. That is his life.
A lot of knitters in his world. I say that's Real King.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah. Allie again, right?
Mm-hmm. Allie again, yeah.
All right.
Kevin.
I got
all right, one more
you
round.
Did, Kevin.
I
you
got
did.
One there. Hey, Kevin did too, Bean. He needs some also.
Just because I'm so far behind everybody, I can't win. That doesn't matter.
You and I are tied now.
One more question. We're going around the horn one time. Here we go. Right. And I think it's
is this one worth 4 points?
No, I don't think it works like
that. That would help.
When a ball is thrown, why do dogs chase it? When a ball is thrown, why do dogs chase it? Kevin, you're on the clock.
I'm going to go real. You're on the clock. I'm going to go real.
That means Larry King is stupid. Because everyone knows why dogs chase balls. Because it replicates their hunting instinct. They're hunting prey. That's what they do.
So you think if it was real, then he would be dumb, so it can't be real. That's
yeah,
what you're
I
saying?
Think he knows better than that. I'm going to say that's fake.
Okay.
I'm with you, Ralph. I'm saying fake, too.
Will Glenda be there?
He's dumb. Larry King is dumb.
What's the final score, please?
Kevin, 3. Ralph, 2. Allie, 6.
Yeah! We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Real King, Fake King.
Is it Larry King or are we faking?
Oh! By the way, that is a band you will want to see live. They put on a great show, Cage the Elephant does, and we'll have them night one, which is coming up on Sunday, December 12th at the Forum for the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2015, along with Disclosure and Foles and other awesome bands, Silver Sun Pickups, Weezer, so much more. K-Rock.com for all the details. Your chance to win tickets to that very show coming up very soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Right now it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave a message 24 hours on any topic, including this one.
Please translate for me.
Nope.
Okay.
Not possible. This particular person, I think, loves the song The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald as much as Bean. I think.
If Bean would have been on that ship that day, he would have sank to the ocean floor. We'd laugh, we'd clap, we'd cheer all day because Bean would be no more. Oh. Yes, Bean would be no more.
That's maybe, just hurtful.
Maybe he didn't like it. But this guy's a supporter.
Hey, Bean. Suicide rates are falling in Seattle. Pick that back up.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's how these go. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Club.
You know, some dude in the point of history of the world at one point thought, how big should the boobs be on the Statue of Liberty? Some dude had that thought in his mind at one point and decided, we'll make them this size. That was a thought some dude had. All I can say is, Daddy Lakey.
Oh. Oh, man.
I was with you right till the end there,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, do you hear what that does to you, though, Bean?
Well, when it's coming from a creepy guy like him,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I hear what it's like. Yeah. Not when it's pure of heart like when I do it.
Here's a song about Miss Double December.
Yo, 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 yes, no! The time has come around. The time is here again. Wanna be Miss Double D? Here's how you're gonna win. Holy A's, B's, or C's. We'll get you in the game. It's those juicy double D's that will bring you all the fame. Gotta show us what you got. And really, Emda, please, gotta strut out and bust out those delicious double D's and bring your suit down in talent. The best we've ever seen. And then you'll win the crown for Kevin and Bean. Miss Double D, 2016.
Well done, sir. Huh.
Right?
I hope he comes down. Comes down to Fullerton on Friday and perform that live for us.
We talk all the time about people who are offended, and that offends this guy.
I'm offended. I'm offended that you're offended. I'm goddamn offended. I'm offended about your offensive offense. Offended by every motherfucking one of you. I'm goddamn offended.
I think I'm with him.
Now, I'm not a girl.
What?
Right?
Okay.
But I imagine picking up girls is a very difficult thing for most guys because they don't come at it the right way.
Uh-huh.
Allie, this is for you.
Oh.
And I just want you to judge it just based on would it work?
Okay.
In a normal situation. Here you go.
Hey, Allie. My herpes just cleared up. What's up?
I mean, it is positive.
What's up?
Yeah. He's got some good news. He's leading with some good news.
Leading with good news, and he's truthful. So that's...
So
nice.
Yes.
No.
No. All right. Here's a revelation I was not even aware of.
So I just realized Kevin's not dumb. Freaking Yoda. Longtime fan him.
Oh. What this if is I'm, why you fail.
What if I'm Yoda?
What if you're Yoda?
I mean, seriously, what if I was? That would be awesome.
You're not Yoda, Kevin.
But what, I'm saying, what if? That guy thinks I am.
Yeah. No.
Hmm. This guy also likes my work.
You know, with all this tragedy in the news, I mean, terrorism's no laughing matter. But Kevin's moment with about the terrorist situation is, hit it, Steve.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or you know, in the terrorist, you know, situation, or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Man. That was a moment with Kevin.
I think that's the greatest moment with that has ever been recorded.
Maybe. Of all time?
I think so.
Pretty tough competition, but
I think it is.
I mean, I'm not saying
about five different directions.
I'm not saying it's the greatest one that's ever come out of your mouth, because we didn't capture them for the first, you know, 15 years of the show, as we should have been. But of the ones that survived, I think that's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it, too. Here's a request, as it is that time of year.
Hey, it's December. It's time for some fruitcake. Thank you.
Hell yes.
Is this the best Christmas song that has ever existed? Bean.
It sounded to me like you were going to play it.
I am.
It's got to be in the conversation, I'll tell you that. So happy right now. Doesn't this just bring you joy?
Sure does.
Hey, Chip, what you making?
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries?
Green ones too.
It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake. Pecans or walnuts? Citrus peel. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Add what you feel. Sticks of butter. Cinnamon. Mo molasses. Lots of dark rum. Artificial color. Artificial flavor. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake. What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking?
Fruitcake.
Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries?
Green ones too.
It's fruitcake. Baking up fruitcake.
Come on.
Now, if I were to tell you there's still 2 minutes left in this song, what would you say?
Play it.
A little bit of mace.
The stuff they spray in your face?
Oh, no, you sillies.
You sillies.
It's a spice for taste. Put the oven on low. 3 hours or more. Wrap it in rum. Yum, 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 fruitcake!
This song is a recipe, right? Everyone gets that. It's just a recipe. That's what the song is. Just reading a list of ingredients and how to prepare them in your oven.
Right. Best Christmas song ever. A lot of instrumental parts.
Fruitcake, heavy as lead. Fruitcake, if it hits you in the head. Fruitcake. Kill your dad, it's fruitcake. Yeah, fruitcake.
All right, if I were to tell you there's still a minute left.
Keep going.
Artificial color, artificial flavor. Your family don't want it. Give it to a neighbor. Fruitcake. Yeah, fruitcake. What you making? Fruitcake. You baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries. Red dye number two. Green cherries.
Green ones too.
It's fruitcake. In a fruitcake. Hey, fruitcake. Do the fruitcake. Don't call me fruitcake. Do the fruitcake. What's the fruitcake?
Love it so much. That's my favorite part.
You're a fruitcake.
That's the great Fred.
Okay.
Fred Schneider from the band Superiors at Fruitcake. You can call the Afro line anytime with requests or comments or questions or impressions or songs, whatever you got. 323-520-AFRO. Thanks. Banjos are strong with that one. Hey, actor John Stamos joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll meet yet another Miss Double December contestant. She is Mallory, and she will be in. She is vying to wear the crown. And again, the live broadcast is going to be this Friday in Fullerton. If you want to join us, please do remember to bring a new unwrapped toy as your price of admission. And come on down to the slide bar in Fullerton. It's going to be fun.
We have a file that we keep with clips of Bean saying things that nobody has said in maybe 100 years. Maybe.
I don't like that kind of talk. I don't cotton to it.
And it's old-timey Bean.
It's time for old-timey, old-timey Bean. He uses words that he thinks are keen. Come on, Daddy-O, see what we mean. It's time for old-timey Bean.
I'm not sure I like
the cat's pajamas.
That's right. Yeah. I like what you guys are suggesting here,
that's
by the way.
That's the bee's knees right there.
I'm very current, very contemporary, and extremely hip.
That is what you're known for. That's true. All right, let's listen to the first one. This is an example that Bean is giving as we're talking about, I don't know, something went wrong with the game where we were doing a giveaway and Ralph was upset and Bean was trying to explain.
How could we have laid this out so that it would have been fairer, Ralph?
I don't know, but you rigged it.
Look, somebody enters a foot race. I can already tell
can't
this
wait
is gonna
this
fail.
One. Come on, this is gonna be a good one.
Somebody enters
a foot race.
Somebody enters the 100-yard dash. Maybe it's not fair because one guy happens to be sick, but he still has to compete.
No,
right?
No, that's on the competitor. They don't set it up. One guy runs on glass and bare feet, and the other guy runs in sneakers in the foot race.
Foot race.
Come on down to the Palladium. See the foot race. The man will race against a steam engine. Are Who will win, not... man or machine?
Who says foot
we'll
race?
We'll find out down at the Palladium.
Are they not called foot races anymore?
No.
No.
No one okay. calls them a foot
not
race.
Not the last 100 years.
Not since just the original race. Marathon in ancient Greece.
Bean loves when people die, and this particular one is confusing, and that's what he's describing.
Someone got killed, but when you hear the circumstances around the death, you're going to be your puzzler's going to be sore.
My puzzler's going to be sore.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that I'm looking forward to that. My puzzler's going to be sore.
I've been working all day with my puzzler trying to figure out this conundrum.
Bean, do you hear it?
One of those fancy word puzzles.
Bean's not around people, so that's sort of what's weird to me. Like, where do you hear this stuff?
I don't
on
know.
On the internet?
I TV? Mean, I
last time my puzzler was this sore, I was working on my abacus.
I assume that, like everybody else in the world, your vocabulary is everything that you've heard and taken in your whole life from lots of sources. TV, you know, movies, internet, other
prospectors.
People, school, prospectors,
yeah.
General store.
1920s swimmers in straw hats.
We were talking to Mama Muggs about the playoffs, the Dodgers playoffs. But Mama Muggs, a lot of people have to at certain times and don't.
Right.
Or can't. And he did.
And he came through. Look, he's off the schneid now.
What? He's off the schneid.
That's a legitimate expression that
it
people
was.
Know and use.
I'm not saying
I remember during the Black Sox baseball scandal.
I'm not saying it's not legitimate. I'm saying nobody says it anymore.
Phil Rizzuto was the last person to use that phrase before
he passed.
You
get the monkey off your back.
He's off the schneid. I think he's in for a world of trouble. I hope he doesn't choke on that tobacco juice.
All right, we were talking about Charo. I have no idea how that came up, but we were talking about Charo, and Bean was, B&B.
She totally has, you know, the va-va-voom going on, if you get my meaning.
Oh, my God.
Really?
The
really?
Va-va-voom?
Yes.
Wait, really? Are we still at war with Germany?
That's an expression that means, you know, curvy and with sex appeal.
Right. Bean, we know that.
Right.
But va-va-voom.
All right. Maybe you don't hear it as often as you once
you
did.
You don't think so? You don't think since the Blitzkrieg we've been talking about the va-va-voom?
But then he said, if you get my meaning.
If you get my meaning. She's got the body of gold. That Betty Boop is quite the cartoon character. When I watched her, she makes my blood boil.
Longtime friend Dr. Mo has done some great things and is helping out one of our listeners right now, and Bean wants to give him some credit.
So anyway, that's just a tip of the hat to a guy who has been a friend of the show for a long, long time, so we really appreciate him so much.
Tip of the hat. Something I've never said. Tip of the hat.
I give you a tip of my hat, and also I'll clean your monocle. Hand me down your walking stick.
That's a compliment, you guys. A tip of the hat.
We know what the words mean.
Okay.
Just say no one says it like that anymore. Ralph is talking about a Kevin Bacon movie sequel.
Kevin Bacon is reportedly working on a TV series spinoff of one of his most popular films, Tremors. Remember Tremors?
Yes.
Oh, the one where he got the palsy?
We call it the palsy. Is that a thing?
No.
No.
Was it ever?
Not since people started actually naming diseases. No.
Here's my favorite, though. This is the final one. This is Bean talking about a story where you use an Uber to help you get away after a robbery. But Bean doesn't know the word robbery, so he uses something else.
You give him an address, and you say, hey, pull up out front. I'll be right out. You go in, knock the joint over, come back out, get in the Uber.
Yeah, see? I'm going to knock the joint over. I hope Johnny Law doesn't show up, or else he's going to be eating lead, see?
Just knock the joint over.
Now, you mugs, get back in that Model T and get it up to 25 miles per hour.
So, keep doing what I'm doing.
You're doing good work. And go.
Go ahead, Bean.
No, you're
you're
the
coming
one.
Out. You you're start this time. This That's what we decided.
I know, I was just kidding. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
You're not allowed to kid. You can't tell when you're kidding.
I know, that's true.
Hey, Ralph is here with the show. He's been on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Mr. Grammon?
Oh, so tired of Star Wars. It's over. Can it be over? Can Star Wars be over?
We haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, I mean, forgot about that. I forgot that's still coming out.
That'll help.
I feel like it's been theaters for a year now.
It does sort of seem that way. Well, like we talked about the other day, you can't get away from it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. We need to spend some time going through Allie's collection, too, because I think she has pretty much everything from Star Wars. She scares me.
Look, I was excited about the new film as much as anyone, but now I'm starting to reach the point of saturation.
Yeah, I think
especially with the merch. The merch which they started selling, I don't know, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
For a movie nobody's seen yet?
Buy these things, you love them! Now! You love them already! BB-8's the cutest thing you've ever seen, buy it!
Now they're selling a Star Wars ice cream, has been announced.
I'm immune to the light.
Stop playing that horrible thing that no one can hear.
It's my Star Wars toy.
Don't be afraid. I feel it, too.
All right, back to you.
Ample Hills Creamery has announced their new Star Wars The Force Awakens ice cream flavors. Two limited edition Star Wars flavors. The Dark Side, which is ultra dark chocolate ice cream with espresso, fudge brownies, Cocoa Krispies. Or...
sounds pretty good.
The Light Side... bright white marshmallow ice cream with homemade crispy clusters and a smattering of handmade Cocoa Krispies.
I prefer the Dark Side.
Me too.
But it's ice cream for Star Wars ice cream! You can order the ice cream at amplehills.com.
But we don't have to, right?
Yes, you do, because you love it and everyone loves it and it's the best and everyone loves it. Ample Hills, by the way, is the stage name of Miss Double December competition who's coming.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's terrific. Looking forward to seeing her. Hey, you know Gigi Hadid? Or as Bean would call her, Gigi. Gigi Hadid. She just broke up with Joe Jonas.
All right.
But she hasn't been...
I got next.
Nope. Sorry, you lose. She's already moved on to a new man. That man? Zayn Malik.
Oh. That was strangely erotic.
Oh.
No, it's not that.
It was strangely erotic.
I'm sorry to turn you on. My point was that she obviously has a type. She loves boy bands.
Good for Giggy.
As do you. Oh. Goes from a Jonas to a 1D.
Good
What's
for
up?
Giggy.
Giggy.
Yeah, apparently they've been seen canoodling, if you will, to use a word from Bean's generation, at a West Hollywood nightclub. Early Sunday morning over the weekend.
And they're from Canada.
Yeah. She broke up with Joe Jonas just 3 weeks ago. And by the way, Joe does not seem pleased. You know how you can tell? He unfollowed Gigi and Zayn on Instagram.
It is on.
Boom! That's tantamount two pistols at dawn. That's like they should might as well just duel.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Everybody looking forward to The Wiz this Thursday? The Wiz.
Oh, it's the live one.
The Wiz Live. NBC's The Wiz Live airs Thursday night.
Beans in.
Beans in.
I'm in.
Absolutely, I'm in.
Allie's in.
Absolutely.
All right, good. You guys can bring
me
clips.
I think it's going to be hilarious.
Bad?
I can't wait. Have you seen some of the commercials?
I have.
Wow.
It looks like it's going to be terrible funny.
Some of the acting already in the commercials. See, you got some people like, you got David Alan Greer, Tony Award winner, actor, singer, triple threat, can do it all. He looks terrific as the Cowardly Lion.
Right.
Then they're just jamming some people in, like Queen Latifah as the wizard.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
I am the wizard of the Emerald City. You will be in big trouble now.
Like, oh, boy. And then Mary J. Blige, I think, is the Wicked Witch. She's like, I don't like water. I don't want any of that water near me. I'm like, oh, this could be spectacular.
You're making it sound like I need to watch it now.
This might be pretty good.
Interesting.
Some people going to be struggling with the old acting bug.
Come here, you. The bug is winning.
Anyway, it's on Thursday night. It's just been announced that this very same production will head to Broadway in 2017. How about that?
Let's see how it does Thursday night.
Seems like a bad business model to me is to show something for free to everyone who wants to watch it and then start charging for tickets a year later. But we'll have to wait and see. Apparently this newcomer they found to play Dorothy is excellent, though. So.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
That's something. But why I just want to see more Mary J. Blige acting.
You get that water away from me. I am not a fan of it.
By the way, I don't know the whole cast, Ralph, but why is Taraji P. Henson not playing one of the witches? She would be fantastic.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Could you see her?
I see what you're saying. Because of Cookie.
Yeah, I'm saying she's perfect for the acting in this kind of movie, I think.
Right? It sounds racist. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that at all. It's an all African American cast. I'm saying she'd be a perfect choice.
Sounds racist to me. Well, what do I know? Do we have time? I don't have time. Damn it. See people.
That's
what you do.
What do you need, Ralph? What can we help you with?
How much time do you have?
We got the new Psy single. The new Psy single's dropped.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
We better save some time for that. Oh,
we gotta break down Daddy, the new song Daddy.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Daddy Likey.
I need to wait on that one.
Beans cover. Beans cover that song Daddy Likey is coming out this week as well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Vance Joy is 28 years old today. Janelle Monáe celebrates her 30th birthday. Akiva Schaffer from Lonely Islands, 38 years old today, as is Brad Delson of Linkin Park. Sarah Silverman's 45. Bette Midler's 70. John Densmore's 71. He was the drummer for the legendary L.A. band The Doors. And director Woody Allen celebrates his 80th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
We will meet Mallory, who is vying to be Miss Double December 2016, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Then actor John Stamos joins us later in the hour. But first...
This music,
right. Ralph is just saying that he perhaps is a little tired of the relentless Star Wars merchandising that's been going on ever since the movie episode 7 was first announced. And there's no question those toys have been hot. We've seen, you know, all the people lining up for the BB-8s and all the other stuff. But here's the problem that I'm having with Ralph being tired of talking about Star Wars merchandise is that I have Christmas presents to buy for people.
Yeah.
And Allie, for instance, I look at and I go, well, there's somebody who needs a Star Wars gift. Because, look, if the goal of buying a gift is to make that person happy,
right,
nothing could make Allie happier than an awesome Star Wars gift that she doesn't already have.
It's true.
I'm not positive that she doesn't already have them all, though, Bean.
Well, see, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, Kevin. It would be like you trying to buy me an album. At some point, you just have to go, well, I'm really taking a shot in the dark that the guy doesn't already have it. And that's how I feel about Allie. So I thought maybe if you think it'd be okay, I'd like to get a little bit of a rundown on the stuff that Allie already has so that we know what's safe to get her if we want to get her something Star Wars related. Now, okay. I don't know much about your feelings about the new movie other than you already have tickets for the night it opens, Allie.
Thank you.
The night before.
Yeah, come on.
I do know your love, your longtime, lifelong love of Luke and Leia, though.
Yeah.
And that would be where I automatically would go looking for a gift is because that's, you know, you're OG Star Wars.
Yeah.
But that's also an area where I feel like you've had your entire life to collect Star Wars stuff.
I do tend to lean more towards the Luke and Leia, the I love you, I know aspect.
Why don't you explain that? With the pillow set.
I might have a pair of pillows with the profile of Han Solo and the profile of Leia. And it's one says, I love you, and the other one says, I know.
Delightful. Is that because the only love you've known in your life has been through the movies?
That and every guy I meet, like, all of a sudden, oh, I'm in carbonite. What? That's why he's not calling. Enough. Yeah.
Sorry I had to stand you up again, Allie, but I was in carbonite.
Exactly.
All right. So
that's a two pillow set.
Yeah, I've got pillows. I've got a really cute clutch purse made of Star Wars sheets that I special ordered from a woman in England. It's darling.
Wait.
Hold on a second. I'm not debating that it's darling.
You ordered the sheets and then made the clutch purse, or you ordered the clutch purse that somebody else had made out of sheets?
She made it.
Okay.
A woman in England. Very talented.
Uh-huh.
Adorable purse. Doesn't hold much.
Do you use that purse?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not ashamed of this at all. She'll rock any of this stuff in public.
Absolutely.
All right, so you got the pillows. You got the clutch. That's adorable.
Uh-huh. I've got the Story of Star Wars album, the original Star Wars album.
Oh, that's the one where the actors tell the story about making the movie or something?
There's a whole booklet involved, and then there's sound effects, and they go through the story. It's the dialogue. It's amazing.
Okay. I think I had that at one point in my life.
It's lovely. I've got two different costumes.
Okay.
One is the Darth Vaderette costume, which I've posted before. The other one is the Princess Leia in the white robe. However, the wig doesn't fit, the one with the two buns, because my head is so large.
Right.
That I then special ordered from a cosplay company, another one. That one doesn't fit. So I've got two Princess Leia wig sets that I can't wear.
The second one also too small?
Nope. Too big.
Oh, too
yeah,
big?
Yeah, no, my head's too big.
Your head's too big, okay.
You know.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. And then I've got three pairs of shoes, a pair of Chucks, a pair of Vans, and then...
What are on the Chucks? What are on the Vans?
The Chucks are pretty much everything. You've got Yoda, you've got Han Solo, pretty much everyone.
Okay.
Then on the Vans, I've got I Love You, I Know, that somebody made for me at the Ave in Venice.
Bit of a theme going on here.
And then the flats that I got, which unfortunately are too big, and now they're sold out everywhere, and I can't get them again. Those are also.
What's the problem with the flats?
They're too big. I ordered my size, and they're just too big. I've done the inserts. I've done everything. So they're just going to be a collectible.
So you're part of your problem in life, among others, mm-hmm. is that your head is too big and your feet are too small.
Yes. Okay. I've had that for years. For years. Yeah. I've got some jewelry, you know, a Darth Vader ring, that type of thing. A Darth Vader, what was for Halloween that you would have candy in, I've made it into a planter, which is lovely.
Vader
planter.
Sure.
You would never bring a boy to your home, right?
No.
Okay, good. No.
Ridiculous.
Because he would walk in and he would go, cray, cray.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Would you wear the Darth Vader ring?
Oh, I wear it all the time. It's a great ring. You've seen it, Kevin. It's great. It's a bulky, it's just Darth's face, and it's gold.
Wow. Well, the music's done, so I guess we're out of time. At least we scratched the surface of the first 800 items that Ali's got Star Wars related.
I think Omar got you a Darth Vader butt plug.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can add that to your collection. So, Bean, what are you going to get? Because I'm going to get you the Mr. Potato Head Darth Vader. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Darth Tater.
Stop it.
I'm getting that.
Darth Tater.
I'm getting Darth Tater. So, Bean, both of those are off the table.
Okay. All right. I'll find something else. Thanks, Allie.
Yeah.
Cold War Kids there. And a little holiday music from U2 right before that. Hey, Mallory, our Miss Double December 2016 contestant, is running a little bit late, and we'll get to her in a bit. But I'm glad that gives us an opportunity to ask for a Cleveland Browns fan to call in this morning of all mornings. We want to talk to you, the Browns fans, at 1-800-520-1067. And you know why we're asking this question, because of last night's unbelievable Monday Night Football game. And by the way, didn't we have Andrew Siciliano on yesterday from the NFL Network? And we said, Andrew, give us any reason to watch Browns Ravens tonight.
Yeah.
And all he could come up with is, well, I guess it'll change who gets draft picks next year. I mean, there was really no reason to watch these terrible teams with losing records compete on Monday Night Football.
But they're evenly matched, so it turned out to be a decently entertaining game.
A very entertaining game that was tied up 27-27 when the Ravens got the ball and immediately threw an interception. So now Cleveland gets the ball, they march down the field, and all they have to do is get a field goal to win the game. And by the way, Cleveland doesn't win very many games. I read yesterday that since 1999, no team has lost more games than the Cleveland Browns. It's tough to be a Browns fan.
It sure is.
They've lost 178 games.
No.
Since 1999. So, I mean, they never have a winning season. And again, this is why we want to hear from you, the Browns fans, at 1-800-520-1067. Because you know what happened. So Baltimore, who of course are without their quarterback, they got the backup, Matt Schaub. He throws an interception. Cleveland gets the ball. They march down the field. Now all they have to do is kick a field goal.
They're also running out the clock. They want to make sure that after they kick the field goal, there's not enough time.
Absolutely.
For the other team to come back. So they run out the clock. They call timeout. They go out of bounds. They're working it really, really, really well right up until.
And the game's at home, and they're so happy. And by the way, I don't know the Cleveland kicker. I haven't watched enough Browns games to know, but apparently he had not missed a field goal all year long.
I don't think this is on him, though.
It's not on him.
Okay.
So you're feeling pretty good. Yeah. If you're a Browns fan at this point, you're going to beat the Ravens, right? Well, here's what happened next.
Travis Coons for the win. It is picked up by Will Hill. Will Hill runs down the sideline. Hill's going to get a block. Will Hill is going to win the game on a blocked field goal. Unbelievable. Will Hill thrilled me. What a play at the buzzer. It's a kick six. And the Ravens find a way to win.
Don't think I've ever seen that before.
So Browns, it hurts.
Yeah.
It was the browniest loss ever. I don't know that I remember a kick six in the NFL either. Chip, you and I were talking about it earlier. You've seen it in college before, right?
I think so, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it in the pros.
But, I mean, it's just unbelievable that the field goal gets blocked and the Ravens, Will Hill, returns it all the way for a touchdown. And there's a video, and please find this video today online, that a guy shot in the stands at Brown Stadium right after that happened, where he just pans around and shows all the fans just with their heads in their hands. This one guy rips off his Browns jersey, just literally tears it across his chest and throws it down on the ground in disgust. One guy says, I effing hate the Browns. I mean, it's the sad, because look, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to make the playoffs. All they want is just a moment of hope.
And
just
they had it. They were set up perfectly. They did.
Yes. It was over.
Yeah, it was over.
Just a tiny piece of happiness. That's all I want. Look, I live in Cleveland. This is what I have. Give me 5 seconds of joy.
It was the Seahawks in the Super Bowl last year. All the time. For Browns fans.
Every game is the Seahawks.
It's unbelievable.
All right, let's talk to Alex real quick. She's in Newport Beach. She's on line three. She is from Cleveland and a Browns fan. Alex, were you watching last night?
Yes, I was screaming at my TV.
Yeah. And tell me what it was like as a long-suffering, long-time Browns fan to lose a game in a way that none of us can ever remember anyone losing a game like that before.
It was heartbreaking. They've done that so many times this season where they just give it away in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's my question. By the way, give it away in the fourth quarter is one thing, but that way with 3 seconds in there, the field goal's almost a given, right? Yep. And then to give it away
it would have been his 18th straight field goal.
Oh.
But as a Browns fan, you weren't surprised? I'm sorry to
say. No, unfortunately, I've actually been to the game. I was at the game versus the Chargers earlier this season and saw the same thing happen.
And is there ever a time where it hurts so much and there's so little return for your investment as a fan that you just stop following or stop caring about the Browns, or can you not stop yourself?
I can't stop myself.
Yeah. Oh, it's very sad. Well, I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. Let's go to Daniel. He's in Anaheim. He's been a fan his whole life of the Cleveland Browns. Daniel, thanks for calling, man. What's going on? How you feeling this morning, buddy?
Great.
So great. Absolutely great.
how much were you willing to let yourself believe that you were going to win that game when it got down to that last field goal attempt?
Well, to correct the last girl's statement, that would have been his 19th in a row to start the season,
that's
which is
crazy.
An NFL record.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
But like we said, it's not on him. I can even understand blocking a field goal. You know, that happens.
Yeah, but even blocking a field goal doesn't happen very often.
But still, I would be okay with that because then we would just go to overtime
right.
and possibly have a chance to win there. But to let them pick it up and take it 80 yards down the frickin' field, that's just, you know... It's misery at its finest, and that's what it is to be a Browns fan.
And the clock ran out basically when he was kicking. So all of the rest of that, it was 0-0, and they just ran the whole way back.
Correct.
And this is a legit rivalry with Baltimore, too, right?
Yeah, they're the Ratbirds. I mean, they're the reason we have this miserable team version of the Browns. And
why are they the reason?
Because they're the former Browns. They're Art Modell. You know, Art Modell is the a-hole of Cleveland to steal the Browns and take them to Baltimore.
Wow.
And so I mean, it's worse than the Steelers. I mean, this is or even the Bengals. I mean, this is the rivalry now for the Browns, and to lose to them anyway sucks.
Yeah.
But to lose this way is just horrid.
Have you ever seen a game end like that? I have not.
In college.
In college, okay.
Yeah. Well, look, it takes a very special person, a stronger person than I am, to be a Cleveland Browns fan. So I want to tip my hat, as the expression goes, Daniel, to you for surviving as a Browns fan. And better luck next week, better luck next year. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
Petros Papadakis talks to us about the new head coach at USC coming up in about 20 minutes or so. And also in the 8 o'clock hour, your chance to win tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is sold out. Get the details at krock.com. Hey, one of the new hits of the fall season on Fox is called Grandfathered. We're very excited. He has rescheduled his appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. And John Stamos is back on the air. Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey. Doing great. Great to talk to you. Always good to catch up.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I loved your throwback Thursday photo from last week.
Sorry.
You in the prom photo.
I know.
Did you see it, Allie?
I didn't. I'm going to look it up. What's happening?
Hi.
Was there any time in your life that you didn't look like a supermodel?
I looked a little goofy in that photo, I thought. That was like a girl, I think that was like one of my first kisses, and her name was Kim Anderson, and you know, she was like, I forgot, she was like a poster chick, and then she later was in the David Lee Roth video for California Girls.
No.
But I went to high school with her, yeah.
Really? That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. All right, so is this a photo you've been hanging on to, or is it something you just uncovered recently?
I had a lot of old photos, and I was just sitting around with my sister on Thanksgiving. We were just going through old family pictures. I said, that's a cool old prom picture. I'll throw it up on Instagram. And my sister was like, nobody cares about seeing that, especially on Thanksgiving. No, let's do it.
I love your feathered hair.
I'm looking at it now.
Your date's hair is incredible. It's like a waterfall. It's amazing. what happened to her? Was she just a prom date, or was she a girlfriend in high school?
No, she was a girlfriend. She was like this hot cheerleader, and I was just going through from being dorky to, I guess, you know, not so dorky. And she was the first girl that paid attention to me. I was like, oh my god, this is going to be great. This life. So, and I remember she was one of the first girls I kissed, and I remember having this great kiss with her at Disneyland under the monorail. But then I stayed in touch with her after I was on television and hung out with her. She was super cool. Kim Anderson was her name.
That's awesome. By the way, I also, this is Bean speaking, John, I also rocked the white tuxedo with the pink ruffled shirt for my prom,
really?
Too. But didn't look anything like that.
I would like you to post that as well, Bean.
Yeah.
It is a terrible choice. Look, the 80s were a rough time. That is a terrible choice, though. It really is.
Yeah, the white tux. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that where, now this is interesting, is that where your lifelong obsession with Disneyland came from? Is that special memory of that kiss?
The first kiss?
That's part of it. Yeah, I grew up near there. So I went as a kid, and it always, you know, brought back happy memories and stuff. But yeah, making out there is, you know, it's good. it turned into a place that I took dates because I knew I could, you know, maybe get a kiss, you know, somewhere about.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, that must have been tough for you getting a kiss.
Yeah, rough.
You know?
John, how, do you... Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, how you. Is your no, guy's you obsession with Saget? And I know you guys are in love with him.
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the funniest people in the world.
And he
has that crazy mind that never shuts down, never slows down. I mean, look, half
they
of
tell
what,
me about it.
Yeah, you know. Half of what he says makes no sense. He's responding right. to voices that he's hearing in his head. But the other half right. that works is some of the funniest stuff I've ever heard. He's incredible.
He's very, very smart and very funny and a great guy. And if we're really quiet, we can hear him complaining somewhere in the country.
Yeah.
Right now. He's in New York doing a play.
I had dinner with him one time, and I realized that once you text Bob Saget, mm-hmm. like, you have to make sure that you have a good hour and a half blocked out.
Right, right, yeah.
Because like, he will text you back, and it's long, yeah. and then he'll ask seven questions, and then you text mm-hmm. back, and you go, I don't know how to get out of this. Where's the, how do I pull the ripcord? Where's the chute? Yeah. I love him, but, man, he keeps going.
You just say, you know, either put on XO or XO or I love you, and then, you know.
Goodbye. And that's it. Okay.
But don't ask him a question about himself, because that's how you get into about another 27 texts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, were you nervous when you saw that he was writing that autobiography last year? Were you nervous about that, John?
yeah, a little. I mean, I don't know. He cleared most of the stories with me before, but, you know, it was funny. It was a good book.
My favorite memory of you was at April Foolishness when we had Brad Williams
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Bob said, you, John is really afraid of little people. And I said, fantastic. And he goes, no, I mean, like, really afraid. I was like, well, let's bring Brad over. This is going to be great. And Bob right. fought me for about 10 minutes. He's like, nope, not going to do it. That's my friend, not going to do it. And then he finally gave in.
Brad was so funny. He's a sweet guy. And, that you know, that whole little people phobia thing of mine is, you know, it's not true, but...
By the way, I saw you, and it's true.
Stamos isn't that good an actor to pull that fear off.
I can read fear.
This is the voice of John Stamos on the phone. He is the executive producer and star of a series called Grandfather that by now many people have seen on Fox Tuesday night at 8. The show is very funny. Has it developed into what was your vision when you began, John? Are you happy with the way it's going?
Yeah. I mean, it's going really well. I wanted to kind of, you know, do a show about family and unconventional family, which I have some experience in. And I wanted to explore, you know, being a father and a grandfather and relationships. All of us on the show are single, so we're all kind of struggling with that. So, yeah, it's really turned into actually better than I thought it would. We have really good writers, real smart guys. The guy running the writer's room comes from The Office and The Simpsons, so he has that kind of sensibility, and I can bring some of the emotion stuff, so it seems to be working.
The thing that I love about it, and the reason why you're, if I can compliment you, John, the reason why you're the perfect person is because you have this persona that your fans think of you as, and you're tweaking that. You're doing kind of an exaggerated version of this, you know, crazy, mm-hmm. crazy playboy, and that must be a lot of fun for you to play.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they see that I am sort of winking at it, because, you know, the truth is that I'm not really that suave in real life either, or, you know, smooth or whatever, and that's kind of what I'm trying to show with this character, I guess. I think with characters like this, or even people like me, people look and think, like, oh, your life must be golden, and you got great hair, and you take hot girls to proms, but it's not always so super shiny, you know, that I'm just as insecure and, you know, nervous and afraid of little people like everyone.
I love that you've got great hair is a thing that just rolls off your tongue as something you hear often.
Oh, but it's just so true, right?
It's such a weird thing. It's like, I guess it would be like if you had a very, you know, strangely large penis or something. And like,
go on.
I don't really have any control over it. I just was blessed with nice hair, you know. Did I make a point there or no?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, people now are wondering is, you know, how much of the penis is true. That's all that's happening here. Grandfather airs Tuesday night at 8 on Fox. All right, I want to. This is going to be a personal thing. No one else has to listen, John, but I have to tell you this because it occurred to me when I was remembering that I had met you one time before in person. In 19, we're going to feel really old here, but I have to say this. In 1985, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was there in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
I think
wow.
It might have been the first time you played drums for the Beach Boys.
Were you there?
I was there, and that was – it was you, and if I remember, it was Joan Jett, and it was Jimmy Page, and I think it was maybe even New Edition, and I met you that day, and I remember how crazy it was – I mean, how insane must it have been for you to go out there in front of 1.5 million people and play drums with your favorite band? I was just wondering, like, did that blow your mind that day?
Yeah. I mean, it still does to this day. That whole – I can't believe you were there. Were you working? Like, were you a DJ there?
Yes. I was on the radio in Washington, D.C., and we were your sponsoring station for that 4th of July event in the nation's capital.
He was yelling, "Show us your boobs!"
I just remember how weird – I mean, the crowd went crazy when you came out, obviously, because they knew you. They recognized you from TV. But it was – I mean, it was one of those things that I'm sure was difficult for a lot of people to understand how it had happened, you know? But I just can't imagine how crazy that side of your life has been compared to all the other things you've done. And all the, you know, hundreds of shows you played with the Beach Boys since, it just must be just so special for you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful. I pinch myself all the time. Like, is this really happening to me? I loved the Beach Boys growing up. And, you know, the trip about that was, like, it was one of the first times I played with them. So I was more nervous about playing drums well than, you know, the 1.5 million people out there. And then, you know, Jimmy Page was playing guitar. And my friend, my connection to the band was this guitar player named Jeffrey Foskett, who still plays with them. And he got assigned to go teach Jimmy Page the keys that the Beach Boys were playing the songs in. And I went with him, and then he got distracted with the guitar roadie or something. And literally, I'm sitting next to Jimmy Page. He's like, "Okay, so what keys are the songs in?" I'm like, "I don't know."
I drum.
What about Bob Rand? And I barely play guitar. What about, I think it's an F sharp. I can't solo an F sharp. Like, no,
so now you're a kid, basically, and you're being screamed at by the dude from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, and I remember I walked in, and he was like, "You want some Jack Daniels?" I'm like, "Oh, no, thank you, sir. Do you have light beer?" You know, like, and it was I remember him having, like devil stuff in there. I thought that was
what?
Did you say devil stuff? Like,
yeah, I think sort of satanic, you know, like...
Like
I
a goat
know, like,
head?
No, it was sort of more whips and chains, you know, that kind of stuff. And, right? And, I guess I should stop there. But
nope.
Right, we got all the time in the world.
We would like you to continue. I just remember,
I remember him being really nervous about going, because I don't think he played, you know, out much at that point.
You're right.
And he was real nervous. And they came off stage, and you know how people do, like, the devil horns and stuff?
Right.
And he was like, "Oh, they didn't like him." I said, "No, Jimmy, they loved you." He goes, "I said, didn't you see that thing they were doing?" And he goes, "Yeah, I thought they were hexing me."
Oh!
I met Jimmy Page that same day, too, and as a kid who grew up loving his band so much, I mean, that was, like, the greatest thrill in the world. But he did seem... You know, obviously he's played the biggest crowds in the world, but I mean, that was a scary day for you guys to go out there on that stage and 1.5 million people on the 4th of July with a, you know, national audience. I mean, that was an amazing day. And I'll never forget that I met you that day and how weird it was that you were even there, you know?
Yeah,
all right, Bean, I'm going to top your personal story.
All right.
I was told in high school that John Stamos moved in across the street from our high school.
Okay.
So we would ding dong ditch this house that to this day I don't think John Stamos lived in. But
where was it?
It was Louisville High School.
Yes, I lived there.
Oh, I totally ding dong ditched you.
You did?
I did.
I figured that was you, Allie. I saw some lawn running through my yard.
It's true.
So, I did live. That was a Catholic high school, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
If that's John Stamos and you're a girl, why are you running?
Because we weren't supposed to be off campus.
No, I know, but it's John Stamos.
Yeah, but I was 14. That's okay, creepy.
That was right across the street from my house.
Yeah.
I just love that John bought that house because he knew it was across the street from a Catholic high school.
Yeah,
girl.
He's no dummy.
I'm not sure he said that.
That's what I heard, anyway. All right.
Well, I didn't buy it. I built it.
Kevin, do you have any John Stamos stories from the past that you want to bring up here?
No, I can't hang with you guys.
Okay. Well. All right. Well,
Kevin, I met your wife, right?
Yes, you did. Yes, yeah. That was my wife at the charity event. Yeah, Bob Saget's charity event.
There's a story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right,
but my wife is hardly a story for me, though. She came home and said, "Yeah, I met John Stamos." And I was like, "So are you leaving? Because I would understand." I mean, really, that's cool at that point.
So it's six degrees of separation with John Stamos. Everybody's got a John Stamos story. That's the world we live in. All right. I love that we got a chance to catch up with you, John. You're one of our favorites. Yeah. You're welcome to come in and see us anytime if you ever feel like hanging out.
Thank you. You know, I'm a big fan of you guys. I've been listening to you for years. Everybody loves you. I'm flattered that you have me on your show. And I do need to just come up and hang out with you guys sometime. I promise I will. I'd like to see Allie in person.
Yeah, I'd like that too, John.
All right, Grandfather, Tuesday nights at 8 on Fox. Check it out. Very funny. John Stamos, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Great catching you. Thank you very much.
Bye now. Either I'm on drugs or Brad Williams just ran into the studio and asked where Stamos was.
That was very weird.
That happened, right?
Yes.
If you say a little person's name three times, he just magically appears, Kevin. That's how it works.
He wasn't scheduled. We didn't expect him to be here. I don't know how he got here.
Just showed up. Very strange.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
Right. That's what I hear. Hey, we'll talk to our friend Petros after 8. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, it's December the 1st.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes, it is.
just checking in.
Moving on.
No, you know what that means?
We played Fruitcake this morning by Fred Schneider for the first time all season.
Yeah, nobody's left. I'm talking to nobody right now. Zero. Zilch.
What are you talking about?
They heard Fruitcake in its entirety, and they went,
that song rules.
Fruitcake is awesome.
What's Carson Daly got going on?
Are you kidding me?
Look, you're wrong about a lot of things, but you're most wrong about this.
So it's a good song, you're saying?
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
All right, fair enough.
But because it's terrible, that's the category. It's a terrible song, but it's bad enough that it's awesome.
Well, then you're going to love The Killers' new Christmas single.
Oh, no, really?
You know, every December 1st, which was the segment I was trying to get to, is the date that The Killers released their new Christmas single. And today's no different.
It's like a holiday for Bean. He looks forward to
it. Well, I look forward to it. Because they do it for World AIDS Day. They donate the money to charity. And
right.
I think this is, the ninth year in a row or something?
So for that reason, I'll be easy on him.
Okay. So the song is
Dirt Sledding, Dirt Sledding, Dirt Sledding, which in my day meant a whole different thing, by the way.
Oh.
Featuring Richard Dreyfuss as Santa Claus.
Huh.
Okay.
And it's a 5-minute song, and it's got like three versions.
Three versions?
Three different feels. One's like a muffled ballad, and then it's got a peppy middle part, and then it's a spoken word adventure. It's just something for everyone.
Is this the finished version, or are you just getting your hands on it?
This is finished. This has been released.
Huh.
Please enjoy The Killers' new Christmas single, Dirt Sledding.
That doesn't sound terrible.
No. I mean, it's no Joel the Lump of Coal. That's hard to say.
No, for you.
But that's the best one, right?
So proceeds do go towards the Red campaign, and you should do that and pay money for that. So things will go to things that are good.
Right.
Speaking of things that are good, thank you, Michael Schneider, our buddy from TV Guide and TV Insider, who sent me this story that just broke this morning. Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
One step closer to the reality that will be Rambo the series.
Yay!
Rambo the TV series?
Rambo New Blood. It's called.
Do we need that?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Do we need that?
From the douche who played Fruitcake this morning wants to know if we need Rambo the series.
Do we need this?
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Right?
Yes, we do.
Rambo New Blood will center on the strained relationship between John Rambo and his son, J.R., a former Navy SEAL. Oh, no you didn't. Stallone will be on board as executive producer and... If there's a God in heaven, returning as John Rambo to to teach his son how to turn people into pink mist. Fox, apparently, is the network that will be carrying it, and I have to go run buy some Fox stock right now because it's going to go through the roof. Can't wait for that Rambo Empire crossover episode. That's
Hey, Cookie, you know, you're coming in here, and it's not your empire!
Ralph, I know we don't know very much about this show or even whether it's going to get made or be good if it is, but what are the likelihoods that that would be successful in 2016, a Rambo TV series?
Why wouldn't
what
it
kind
be?
Of question is that? If they do it well, it'll
doesn't
have a good...
Doesn't it just seem like that whole that Rambo mentality is of a place in time? That doesn't feel very 80s to you?
No.
Okay.
Did you ever see any Rambo movie?
No, of course not.
Then stop asking questions.
I don't know anything about them, but it seems like a time and a place.
In a world where The Expendables is still a huge box office hit, you're wondering if Rambo still has the potential?
I am.
It's puzzlement. My puzzler's sore by your thought processes.
All right. Well, I hope it gets made. I hope it's good, and I hope you love it.
Are you saying it's over?
It's over. Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Oh, my.
Are you saying Fox drew first blood? Kevin was running around the room pumping his fist like he scored the Stanley Cup winning goal in overtime after the clumsy setting himself up for that audio clip.
Can you alley-oop yourself?
No!
Traveling.
And all you right. certainly can't celebrate after you do it.
No one saw me celebrate. You guys could just keep that to yourselves.
Nope.
Sit down.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Hollywood Babylon returns to the Improv on Melrose.
No.
It's been a while since we've done one, like a month since we've done a new Babylon. Looking forward to it. Kevin Smith and I hit the boards once again.
No.
So, that'll be Friday at 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com to get your more info and tickets. But come
nope.
on. We're going to have a good time. It's only
no way.
Nope.
Only no way. Get
year.
Real.
See, only come two on, left in the year?
Maybe. I don't know. Someone was playing audio all over me.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
This year. Just this one, and then one more in December, and then a little holiday vacay. Today, celebrity birthdays. Vance Joy is 28 years old today. Janelle Monáe is 30. Akiva Schaffer is 38 years old. Brad Delson of Linkin Park is also 38. Sarah Silverman's 45. Bette Midler turns 70. John Densmore, drummer for The Doors, is 71. And Woody Allen, director, actor, writer, comedian, 80 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What if I were to say, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067 and play a game to win tickets for the sold-out night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. What if I were to say that?
I think people would hear that and then call.
I hope so. December 12th at the Forum. That's a week from Saturday night with AWOL Nation of Bastille and Cage the Elephant, Disclosure, Foles, Halsey, Silver Sun Pickups, The Struts, 21 Pilots, Weezer, and Ex-Ambassadors. A great lineup, 11 great K-Rock acts, and you. You will have to earn the ticket, so give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. There has been a lot of news coming out of USC recently, and they finally have a coach that everyone likes. That's new for a change. Let's find out what's going on with our friend Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570. Hey, P, what's going on, buddy?
Well, I wouldn't say everyone.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, then school me. I thought the reaction was generally overwhelmingly positive when the news came out that they had hired their interim coach as their permanent head coach.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. I like the guy. I mean, I have a good reaction to the hire. Clay Helton has been hired at USC, the interim coach, like you guys said. But this is USC we're talking about. We just...
So what does that mean?
USC, you just hired, I don't know, like I'm trying to make some kind of K-Rock. We just hired Fred Durst.
Really?
No.
Why would you say that?
No, we didn't hire him.
Well, what's his background? He has been with the school for a long time, right?
Not really. I mean, well, Clay Helton was the Helton family. Okay, we'll start with that. Kim Helton, I went to high school with Tyson Helton, the little brother, who's now the offensive coordinator at Western Kentucky.
Do we need to go that far back?
Yes, we
do. Okay, all right.
They have a very strong football background. Mm-hmm. They are very diligent people of faith who are damn boring, and that is a great thing for USC. But Clay Helton was a lifetime assistant, basically, at Memphis. I mean, the last year he was at Memphis, they were 2-10.
And then he got hired to basically be sort of just a body on Lane Kiffin's staff.
Right.
Lane Kiffin did all the offensive stuff. And then Lane, of course, humiliated himself and then was humiliated, fired on a tarmac like a drug dealer by Pat Hayden a few years back. Then Ed Ogeron, remember that guy?
Was he there for about 5 minutes?
Nope.
No, he was there. Basically, here's the troubling thing. Ed Ogeron did almost the exact same thing that Clay Helton did in his interim stint, yet he got fired. And Clay Helton did the same thing, and he got hired. And Pat Hayden's the same guy behind both. Here's the big picture. Nobody's unhappy with Clay Helton as the head USC football coach. You're right. A lot of people like the guy. He's a diligent person. He's a hardworking person. There's no flash or glitz to him. And it seems to me that he understands the right way to win at USC. That being said, people are saying, my God, we're USC. And I guess the old adage is, we could have hired Frank Lloyd Wright. Instead, we hired the guy to paint the house.
Right. You were joking online and on the radio yesterday about why are they calling Tony Dungy or somebody to come coach the club, right?
Well, that was another joke because somebody actually trolled Tony Dungy a few years back and told him that it was USC and they were hiring him. And he was like, oh, really? I'm very interested. And then he went on the radio and was like, I've been contacted. And it turned out to be some guy at his mother's basement calling Tony Dungy.
Now, Pete, you're talking about Clay Helton basically being a low-key guy.
He's a low-key.
Okay.
None of this is – everybody's issue is not with Clay Helton. Everybody's issue is above Clay Helton,
right,
with the athletic director Pat Hayden and the way things have been handled at USC. And frankly, and I said this on our radio show, if USC was going to have Pat Hayden involved in the hire, which it looks like in this situation he was, then the best thing they could possibly do was hire Clay because they couldn't afford for Pat – who's being rumored to step down every other day and supposedly has health problems and hasn't shown up to the last six games, tried to escape the press conference yesterday like some kind of big tobacco executive, like running out the back door. And the media had to run him down and corner him and ask him a bunch of questions. He has been an absolute flop as the athletic director, and people's anger comes from that instead. Like, hey, who did you interview? This is USC. Why couldn't you get Vince Lombardi's ghost to come and coach the team? You know, stuff like that. And, you know, frankly, he does have to answer those questions. He's been terrible as the athletic director at USC. And I think the best thing that could have possibly happened is that Clay Helton got the job if Pat Hayden was going to be involved. But he needs an entirely new staff. But you guys don't care about that stuff.
No,
we don't. But I do want to ask, do they need that bigger-than-life presence as the head coach? They've had it. It went well for a while.
No,
they
but
don't.
If you're a USC fan, you know, you think that you're deserving of FDR to come coach the team.
Is he available?
No, well, you know, the USC fans have a very high opinion of their school, and they probably should. We're talking about a West Coast powerhouse. We're talking the premier program on the West Coast, a complete blue blood in college football. The L.A. and the people that are listening know that it is the greatest recruiting ground for football probably in the country. Maybe Florida's a little bit better, who knows, but you can get whoever you want. So, you don't need to have some get-rich-quick scheme coach or some guy who's some brilliant X's and O's type of person. You just need a guy who's going to line up it's like being the tour manager for the Foo Fighters, right? Everybody likes the Foo Fighters.
Right.
Okay, you don't have to tell the Foo Fighters how to do a show. All you have to do is just push them out there. Right?
Right.
So
USC kind of needs a coach like that, a disciplined, boring guy that has these guys doing the right things and playing the basic football necessary for USC to dominate. And Clay Helton is that guy, but USC fans are mad because they think they deserve at least an interview with bigger names, and they didn't have a transparent search. Basically, they've had the same situational problems with Pat Hayden forever in that he's just a bad athletic director.
Understood. However, if you're a player, you have to love the idea of some consistency of the coach that you work for this season being there when you come back next year.
Clay Helton could be there for another 3 years, and they still lack consistency. I mean, consistency is a guy who's been there 10 years with a staff that's been there, you know, about the same amount of time.
Well, Pete just can't be made happy by anything, can he?
Wait a minute. USC has had four different – Jim Mora just coached against his fourth different USC head coach in 4 years.
That's what I'm saying, which is how refreshing to know that you're going to have this coach again next year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're going to need a brand – what I'm saying is it's throwing a chair off the Titanic. You know, they're going to need a brand new staff again. You know, they're going to have to keep these people in place for a long time to have any semblance of consistency. You're right, though. It's good that they're hiring a normal, basic person whose life is not spinning out of control.
It's not a drunk, right?
Yes, who is, or a weirdo or anything like that. Well, maybe he's weird. Who knows what he does in real life?
All right, Pete, last question, and we are going to see it. We'll have some more time on Friday. You're coming down to the Pageant in Fullerton.
Double December, you down.
Okay. Right. Last question.
You won't see Clay Helton at the Double December. He's a good, diligent man.
I will. I'll actually save my last question since we will have you in person on Friday then. So how about that? I won't even ask you that question.
Come on.
No, you don't get it.
You don't get it now because
it's not for you.
Because you're too cranky, and whatever it is, your answer is going to be mean.
I'm not cranky. I'm just telling you guys that USC's still a mess. This is a good step in the right direction.
All right, I have one question.
No one ever cares what the players think.
All right, I have one question to follow up then. Will USC remain a mess most likely until Pat Hayden is gone?
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
But he will, but I don't think, I don't think he's going to be there too much longer. I think he'll move on and handle the Coliseum renovation project or something like that. And look, I trumpeted the hire of Pat Hayden. I thought he would be a great athletic director. He's done a lot of great things in life and been very successful in business. But running the USC athletic department and hiring and firing people is not one of them. It's like taking Hoobastank on tour.
He is a former UFC Trojans football captain and the co-host of the Petros Money radio show on AM 570, our friend Petros Papadakis, who will be there in person with us on Friday in Fullerton at the Miss Double December pageant. P, we love you. We'll see you then, dude.
Fight on, and I can drink on Friday. I have no other obligations.
Beautiful. All right, let's do it. Tickets for the sold-out night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. It is a week from Saturday at the Forum. It's time to play Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Astrophysicist, one of the smartest men in the world, our close personal friend, Dr. Stephen Hawking, joins us back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doctor.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
How are you doing? Are you excited about Acoustic Christmas?
I'm more excited about the Miss Double December pageant.
Wow.
I would like to come down to the event and be a guest judge.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how comfortable I am with that, knowing how you're all hands.
I have always been fascinated by twin planets.
All right. Well, we can talk about that off the air, but
we'll talk about it now.
Well, I mean, we'll get to it at a different time.
Yeah.
Now, right now.
We're going to have ongoing discussions where we talk
need some booze.
I know you do. Listen, we have listeners on the line. You want to explain
That's their problem.
Right, but you're going to help them win tickets to Acoustic Christmas Night Number One. Explain how Hawking the Hits is played, if you would, please, sir.
I will read some lyrics from a song from one of the artists playing the Almost Acoustic Christmas show. Mm-hmm. You need to identify the song and artist that I am reciting.
Okay, so title and artist, it's going to be a song that you'll hear if you win the tickets for night number one at the Forum. Who's our first contestant here, Kevin?
We got Richard from Glendora. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going great. Time to hawk the hits. Listen up, here's Dr. Stephen Hawking.
I was walking down the street when out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me.
That would be Cage the Elephant, Ain't No Rest for the Wicked.
Nicely done.
Well, that was impressive, Richard. You hold on. You are in the drawing. Who's up next?
We got Greg in Whittier. Hi, Greg.
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, you're on with Dr. Hawking. Listen up. Here's your song. We need it by title and artist, please.
All hail the underdogs. All hail the new kids all hail the Outlaws, Spielbergs, and Kubricks.
I'm going to say that's the ex-ambassador's Renegade.
Yes, it is.
Nicely done.
I would be terrible at this game. I don't know about you guys, but wow. All right, who's up next?
Tony in Paramount. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, what's going on?
Say hi to Stephen Hawking.
Hey, what's up, Stephen?
Hey.
Here are the lyrics from your song.
I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody, got nothing in my pocket.
Weezer, Beverly Hills?
Yes, sir. I didn't go
to boarding school. Unbelievable. You guys are great. All right, we got time for a couple more real quick. Who's up next?
How come Stephen Hawking isn't great? How come they're great?
Right. Good point, Kevin.
Because he's reading off a piece of paper. Right. They're coming up with a title.
It is so nice to talk to someone who has the same intellect as me, Kevin.
Thank you for noticing that. I appreciate it. You guys are a peas in a pod.
Let's go to Francisca in Doughty.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Here's Stephen Hawking with your lyrics.
Cigarettes and tiny liquor bottles, just what you'd expect inside her new Balenciaga. Vile romance turned dreams into an empire.
Sorry, that was Halsey.
Cigarettes and tiny liquor. All right, nice try, though. Thanks for playing. Let's do one more.
All right, let's go to Kathy in La Habra. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Hawking.
Good morning, Kathy.
So let's get one for the girls.
I love to get one for the girls. Right, I have like one now.
No, I don't like the direction this is going. Just read the paper, Stephen.
You read the paper. Douchebag.
Hey.
I'm a freaking genius. Don't talk to me like that.
Okay, I just know what you're hitting on our listeners, that's all.
Oh, that's some rich news coming from you, Daddy Likey.
Amen.
All right, here are your lyrics. Good luck.
This is how I show my love. I made it in my mind because blame it on my ADD, baby.
That is AWOL Nation.
Yes!
Yes.
All right. Very well done. Kathy's in the drawing. Tony as well. Also, Greg and Richard, they all identified the lyrics in Hawking the Hits. Only one will win tickets to the sold-out night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 to see all those great bands. Alan McKay, who's your winner, please?
Winner is Kathy.
The winner is Kathy. Congratulations, Kathy.
Yes! Yes!
You got tickets and you got Bud Light backstage passes to night number one.
Love you all.
Enjoy the show. We love you, too. Thanks for playing the game.
Stephen Hawking.
It is an annual tradition going back many, many years. This Friday morning, the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live from the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Give me a little of that theme song, if you would. Kevin, as you know, we're going to be on location crowning a new This Double December. Who will represent the Kevin and Bean Show for 2016? It's time to meet another contestant.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Big juicy melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
She does have great cans.
She's got the guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen,
we don't have a winner yet.
We have a winner.
Not yet.
Mallory is your Miss Double December 2016.
She might be.
What? How can she? But look.
Because we don't. This doesn't end until Friday at the pageant. You know that.
I'm impatient. I just met Mallory, and I think I'm in love. Welcome, my dear. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
It's great to see you. We're sorry for you with the terrible time you had getting in this morning, but you persevered, and you're here, and it's time for you to meet the K-Rock audience. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
I am a financial counselor. I do live in Wrightwood. And yeah, we have that in common, I guess. Yeah.
You live where?
I live in Wrightwood.
Wrightwood?
Yes.
That is a choice.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
That's practically Oregon, right?
I'm sorry?
It's practically Oregon. I mean, that's pretty far north for people who we talk to on this show.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it like that, something like that.
Why do you live there?
There is not that many humans up there, and the humans that are up there are pretty kind. We you know, merge very nicely, it's getting on the freeway.
Group of people, yeah.
Yeah. on my way here, people, there's a lot of green lights and nobody moving. So
yeah,
it was a little stressful there.
Yeah. I mean, did you grow up, in Southern California?
I did. I grew up in Riverside.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but you've gotten to the point where it's too busy, too hectic, too crowded, and you needed a little bit of space.
I did. Yeah. I drove the 91 for many, many years and it was just, I was done.
You realize it was taking years off of your life and
yeah, years to get places. Yeah.
on your questionnaire, and you can see photos and see Mallory's answers on the questionnaire at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You said that you're on a mission to save all the animals, which I thought was so interesting. And I'm wondering if living up in Wrightwood, you got a little space. I wonder if you got some animals.
I sure do, and I hope to get more animals. I actually have two dogs and a cat that I've rescued.
Okay.
So I don't have that large of a property to add more animals.
What other animals do you want? You want different animals or more of what you have?
Whatever animals, all of the animals.
Oh, you want all of the animals?
All of the animals, okay. Yes.
Wait, so hold on.
What could go wrong?
She doesn't love a bunch of people around her.
Right.
She loves animals.
Right.
She's she-being, too.
She is she-being, too.
Right? I am already planning our future. I'm already thinking about how much land we're going to have now, right? And we're going to have a zebra, and we're going to have a unicorn, and we're going to have all the animals.
Sounds promising.
All right. What Dave tells me that you are a podcast listener, and I was wondering if that's because you can't hear K-Rock where you live.
Yeah, it's static. So we do listen to the Kevin Bean Show on podcast.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's very cool. Everybody that does that is very nice, because this even in the city – in Los Angeles, people can't hear us in about half the places.
It's static, yeah. I was going to try to use the joke of, I forgot my key card, and that's why I was late.
Oh, Kevin.
I see how that works. tell me, walk me through, if you would, the thought process this year of deciding to enter to be Miss Double December, because a lot of girls hear about the pageant, they go, oh, it's not for me. What pushed you to apply?
Well, my boyfriend is a huge fan of Kevin and Bean, and he told me about the contest, so I was like, sounds interesting. I wonder if I could get picked. So I actually did not realize how many photos I didn't have of myself and needed to take to put them into the contest. So I think I submitted my photos Thursday, and Friday was the last day, and Christine called me, and it was a really exciting moment.
If you don't mind me asking, what attractive girl doesn't have any pictures of herself?
Well, it's usually me and an animal.
That's weird.
Really ugly girls have millions of pictures.
Millions.
She might be the most attractive person ever in this studio. You need more pictures.
Are you,
wrong with you?
I clearly did.
Are you damaged?
Is
there damage?
I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, three photos? Oh, maybe have one.
How hard is it to come up with three photos?
I was like, oh, God. I was like in my front yard trying to take a photo of myself, embarrassed. I had to go inside the house. And,
most girls take three photos of themselves by breakfast.
Probably.
You had to scramble.
Yeah.
What do you put on your Instagram?
It's a lot of scenery and
it's pets,
animals.
Let's be honest. It's animals. Come on. What do you think, Bee?
It has a lot of animals involved.
Look at this
involved cute
cat.
Yes.
Your superpower would be X-ray vision for obvious reasons. Okay. Your porn star made-up stage name would be Miss Kitty. I like it. And tell me about your talent. What are you going to be doing on stage Friday in Fullerton?
Jump rope. I put that with a question mark. I had never felt so untalented until I read What Is Your Talent?
And then you had to think about it?
I did. And, you know, I like to work out to the YouTube videos. And usually it's just the motion of jump rope, not an actual jump rope.
Right.
So I had to get a jump rope and practice a little bit. But I have a crisscross going on.
You do? Nice.
It looks pretty promising. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So
we had a girl that hula hooped once, and it just dropped straight to the ground. I mean, it was 3/4 of a second. It just dropped right to the ground.
I'll be okay.
It'll be pretty good. Yeah.
Christine reassured me it was okay. I was like, my talent's jump rope with a question mark. She's like, it's okay. Don't worry. I was like,
let me tell you something about the crowd that comes down to the slide bar in Fullerton. They are there to support you. They really are a great crowd who seem to be really happy to be there and rooting for all the girls. When you agree, Kevin, there's been very little negativity from the crowd.
Nobody's going to go, hey, that's just jump rope.
That's right. Exactly.
That's
you're
not
throw
gonna
tomatoes
happen.
At
that's
me.
Not going to happen. They're not so kind to us sometimes, but believe me, they're very happy to see the ladies. All right, we're almost out of time here, Mallory, which I feel terrible about because I know how long it took you to get here. But how are you spreading the word to get some votes going at KRock.com?
I've just been kind of posting it. I did post it on my Instagram and on my Facebook. I've just been kind of vocal with friends and asked for them to vote for me. Some of my friends were like, you can continue to vote more than just one day. And I was like, yeah, you can. That sucks. Clearly, you guys weren't.
You need better friends.
Yeah, I do.
Seriously, you just tried it once?
Yeah.
Well, you can vote for Mallory and should. Go to krock.com, kevinabean.com, and take a look at the pictures, take a look at the questionnaire, see what you think, and cast your vote. And especially if you can, if you're able at all, it is the one live show a year that we encourage you to come out and see us because it's really super fun. They're great down at the Slide Bar. They make a tremendous turkey burger, by the way, if I could just put in a plug for that.
But I don't know how that helps.
We ask you to bring a new unwrapped toy, please, as your price of admission. And the broadcast is going to be live for Fullerton this Friday. So, Mallory, we will see you again on Friday. You and your jump roping skills. Thanks
yes,
for coming in.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And that was Ramones for you there.
Nope.
From the End of the Century album, the one that Phil Spector produced. And that was Danny Says. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, there's a movie about that, about Danny
what?
Says.
What?
Danny
really?
Says?
Documentary. And it was really good. And those documentaries, they come and then they go really quick. Right. Somebody should have an actual all-documentary channel. Because
yeah,
we're missing all these amazing
channel. Like the documentary channel would be good.
Like the Gears had a documentary out and all these people have documentaries out, but they come really quick. There's an opening, it plays, and you never hear from them again.
Well, they're available
right. So
afterwards.
There should be a way to see these
There should be some way to see films after they left the theaters.
See the Ramones.
They get destroyed, right?
About yeah. Danny Fields,
right.
Called Danny Says,
right.
The manager of the Ramones.
Ramones, right, exactly.
And here are the Monkees.
Oh, no, thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate that.
Actual, I think you said.
Yeah.
An actual, there should be an actual documentary channel.
A lot of problems with that that report.
It's all good.
Rob is here now, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
You know what? So sick of this Adele. Ooh, Adele's the best. Adele sold 4 million copies of her album in a week. Oh, she's the greatest. Oh, she can sing. She's magical. What about Psy? How about Psy?
The Gangnam Style guy?
Yeah. We all love Psy, and then we just threw him away. We just kicked him to the curb. We tossed him aside like yesterday's newspaper.
I feel like maybe Adele is an artist.
As is Psy. Have you seen his new video?
I have not, no.
Daddy? For his new single? Also called Daddy.
All right.
It's very, very disturbing.
Is it?
Yes. It's Psy's face on a little boy's body.
Oh.
And the little boy's doing all the Psy moves and everything, and he's walking through like an elementary school shooting girls dead, crooking his finger at him, and they're just fainting because Psy's so sexy.
Daddy likey.
The only one way it could be worse.
Oh.
Psy's back.
Is it? Do you like the song, Ralph? I mean, the video sounds creepy, but is this song good?
Actually, it is
kind of catchy.
Kind of catchy, yeah. You want to take a little listen?
Yes, I do.
Here's some new Psy.
Hey, where'd you get that body from? Where'd you get that body from? Where'd you get that body from? I got it from my daddy. I got it from my daddy. I got it. Hey, where'd you get that body from?
Something in Korean.
Don't be a liar. 까고 말해봐야. I'll be your honey. Never expire. 낮에는 정말 더. 밤이 오면 상남자. 널 보자마자 나. 너무 좋아. 서로
허기가
보면 애미다.
say, Pie Gal?
Said, there's a line there that said, you'll be my curry, I'll be your rice. I don't know what that means. It sounds dirty.
That's pretty catchy.
It is kind of catchy.
Well, that was kind of creepy.
In the video, Psy plays himself, his son with his face on it, a baby with his face on it, and his own father, who is Psy dressed up as an old man who's still knocking boots on a yacht. So, if you're a Psy fan, you want to pick up his new album, his seventh album, which is entitled, in Korean, Chisip Saida, which means, this is Psy's seventh album. So, you pick that up.
Huh.
Come on! Psy!
You
people don't get it.
The whole, I got this body from my daddy.
Yeah. Where'd you get that body from?
From where?
Where'd you get that body from?
Who gets here?
I got it from my daddy.
Yeah.
I got it from my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I got it, got it.
Hey, where'd you get that body from?
That's right.
I got it from my daddy. I got it from my daddy. I got it, got it.
Hey, where'd you get that body from?
I got it from my daddy.
So what bothers you about that, Bean?
Just that I got this body from my daddy. I just feel like that's a sentence I don't like, not comfortable with.
Bean has daddy feelings.
Yes, he does.
I do. I have daddy feelings.
You, of all creepy people, should not be able to pass judgment on, because I got it from my daddy.
Because I don't think there should ever be a sentence that involves your parents and your sexy body. That's why. They're incongruous for me.
What about she's shaking what her mama gave her?
I don't like it. I think you cut your parents off of any conversation about how hot you are. That's what
it's
I'm
not,
that's
it,
all
but
I
it's about being, it's passed down. It's about.
I hear you. I hear what, I just, I don't like it.
Dance party!
The only person that uses the word daddy on our show all the time, and
right.
He doesn't like this.
I got this from my daddy. Right here.
All right.
What are you feeding that thing?
Oh, jeez.
Daddy likey.
Ralph. I was purposely not looking at you, and then you did that.
You didn't turn away long enough.
Ralph was. Ralph would have waited for a week.
Yep. That's all the time in the world.
Oh.
I got it from my daddy. Hey, Emily Deschanel and David Boreanaz, along with author Kathy Reichs, who created the characters that are featured in the hit TV series Bones, are all suing Fox, saying they were cheated out of tens of millions of dollars in profits from the series. Kathy Reichs, who wrote the book that this series was based on, she was supposed to get a 5% share of the profits from the series, and the actors were supposed to get 3%. The lawsuit claims that Fox withheld key documents and an independent audit, they claim, has uncovered more than a dozen counting errors, tricks, and deceitful acts. Ooh. Here's the thing. It's a legendary practice of TV producers and networks to bury the profits for long-running shows. Most famously, back in the 70s, after 8 years on television, Universal told James Garner that they hadn't made any money on the Rockford Files.
After how many seasons?
Eight. Eight top 10 rated seasons. And, oh, we never made any profit. Sorry. We'd give it to you if we had any, but we were always in the red. Can imagine that.
Wasn't there a lawsuit about Forrest Gump at one point, too, after it had made like $300 million? They were still claiming it hadn't broken even?
Yeah. So they're suing. And here's the thing. I was on Bones. I did an episode of Bones.
Oh.
And I think I'm also due tens of millions of dollars for my episode.
I think you got a check coming.
Yeah.
Were you in the whole episode?
I was the dead body. I was the star of the episode. You know Bones?
Yeah.
I was the Bones, okay?
For that one episode.
Well, it colored the show after that for many, many episodes. I think what I brought to it was an integral part of what that show.
And you deserve how much?
Tens of millions of dollars.
Okay.
All right.
Seems fair.
I'll take $1 million for their deceitful acts.
It's Bobby!
I wasn't Bobby.
No.
I was Morgan Donnelly, hilarious, popular stand-up comedian, who was murdered by another comedian, I think. I don't really remember. But I just remember
the
that.
The other comedian?
Johnny Asshole.
No.
We did a phone-in topic once, Ralph, and I'd love to do it again sometime, where we talked to our listeners who had played dead bodies on TV or in movies. It was super funny.
Actually, I never actually got to play the body. I was just featured in flashback and in video and audio recordings. So I start off the episode dead, and then they go back to look at my hilarious career, and then that's where they find me. But I never got actually to play the corpse itself, which is no fun.
It's no fun to play the corpse?
No.
No, but I feel like I could
do
that.
A couple times, and it's just not fun. It's hard. It's harder than you think.
What?
It is.
It's hard to play a corpse.
Yes. Because you must remain completely motionless.
Right.
And you cannot breathe.
Right.
So as long as the scene is going on around you, you have to hold your breath.
I feel like I could do that. It's the one
thing. I'm sure you feel like you could do that.
It's the one thing in acting that I think I could do.
No, because then you'd sit up and go, well, I'm just doing what I normally do. What is oh, I was supposed to be still. Oh, right. You said that 5 seconds ago. You'd forget that you were supposed to be dead and that you'd be alive and you'd be dancing. And it would be problematic, I'm saying. Oh. Although, I heard you on that that show about the 80s, the Sunset Strip.
Wicked City?
Wicked City.
I did good work.
And maybe you can play dead.
Oh!
Because
how?
I'm just saying.
How?
Maybe there was an energy level.
How dare?
That someone would have. Someone. Oh. Another choice would have been.
How dare you?
I have it if you'd like to hear some of that, Ralph.
I'd love to hear some.
I gotta tell you, I'm loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F., and it's from her secret admirer.
Back. He is not playing it super alive. I'll tell you that.
He's right there. He's very close.
That guy does good work.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
I can't wait to see these guys live. I am loving that song.
They are really tearing it up. That is a dynamic stage performance.
They are the shiznit.
I don't like any of you.
Yeah, well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Vance Joy. He's 28 years old today. Janelle Monáe celebrates her 30th birthday. Akiva Schaffer from Lonely Island. He is 38. Brad Delson, Linkin Park guitarist, 38 as well. Sarah Silverman's 45. Bette Midler, 70. John Densmore, drummer for the legendary band The Doors, 71 years old. And director Woody Allen celebrates his 80th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I'm all about them bees. That's what
sure.
I am.
Who isn't?
That's my thing.
Where can people go to get information and be, you know, turn the ignorance around?
It's a great question, Beer
Bucket. Befacts. Befacts.org.
Glad you asked. All right. 9:42. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Congratulations to Adele. 25. Her new album has now broken the 4 million copy mark in sales.
Is that good?
It's not too shabby. Oh, wait a minute. It's the most ever in the history of albums.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Diplo's on board. Diplo says that he is a big Adele fan, so it's across the way there.
Would you believe a girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
No, I wouldn't believe that, but I think you might like Adele if you give that a shot.
Line of questioning.
Bill Withers. Well, he's got a lot to say today.
I hate you,
Bill Withers.
Oh, I'm so mad!
You're mad. You don't have to listen to you. Second week of sales began on Black Friday, by the way. On Black Friday, it sold 650,000 copies alone on that one day. It's expected to break the $4 million mark. I'm sorry, expected to get another million by this Thursday, which they're estimating will make close to half a billion. Not really.
No.
But still, 5 million is pretty impressive for an album that's been, you know, will have been out for less than a month.
Yeah. Congratulations to Jordan Peele and Chelsea Peretti of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Key and Peele, respectively. They got engaged over the weekend. So happy. They seem like a good couple. I didn't know they were dating. But
I didn't either.
There they are, and now they're going to be married.
It is funny that celebrities that we don't know, we still have an opinion on whether we like them together. But this is one where I went, I'm really happy for these two. They seem like a great
couple. Well, you want to like both halves of the couple. That's what it comes down to, the celebrities. You hate to see someone you like with someone you don't.
Jordan Peele, Ralph. I know you're a little bit behind on Life in Pieces. is so funny on that show.
He's funny in everything.
Yeah, he's terrific.
He's writing and directing, by the way, a straight-up horror film he's working on right now.
Really?
Yeah. So the guy's enormously talented. Hmm. Congratulations. Get a prenup. What? That's cynical, Kevin.
I didn't say it.
Speaking of directing, Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote and directed the latest Mission Impossible movie, Rogue Nation, said he's going to be back for a sixth in the series. Tom Cruise is already committed to making another film as well. So we're going to get another Mission Impossible from those guys. I thought Rogue Nation was really good.
I did too.
Thought they did a great job with that. Just when I thought that franchise might be out of steam, boom, Tom Cruise, side of a plane, open the door. It's awesome.
That franchise to me is like James Bond. If they do it well, they could do it pretty much forever. Back to you.
All right. And while we're talking about franchises, how about Bourne? How about Bourne?
Loved the first three.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Bourne is back. Matt Damon returning as Bourne.
All right, I'm in.
The Bourne Identity sequel is in the works, and they've just announced that Alicia Vikander is going to be his co-star.
She's a good deal.
She is the it girl right now. She's been cast in everything. She is the star of The Danish Girl with Eddie Redmayne, which apparently is getting great critical acclaim. And she is reportedly in talks to star opposite James McAvoy in his new film, Submergence.
Kevin, she was the robot in Ex Machina.
Ah!
Ah,
thank
Kevin.
You, Bean.
She was also the adorable female lead of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. You saw that film with Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer.
I don't think I saw that one.
How could you miss The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I know. I think that was one that came out where I was busy doing other things, and I really wanted to, but then...
You're busy doing all those other things?
Then I had the other stuff with the things and the deal with the people.
And
I had to go to the places.
The things?
So, yeah.
A British town might rename its local train station. In the town of Canterbury West, they have filed a petition to rename its local train depot Kanye West Station. So far, the petition at change.org has nearly 1,500 signatures. The petition is calling for city officials not only to rename the station, but also to recognize Kanye West as the greatest human being of our time. Listen to the kids, bro! Everybody done?
Keep going.
And Richard Pryor's comedy albums are classic. Maybe you've never heard them. After a while. I mean, CDs go out of print and vinyls no more. Well, there's good news. Warner Brothers has announced all of Richard Pryor's comedy albums will now be available for digital downloads and or for streaming. Richard would have been 75 years old today, by the way. And his widow, Jennifer Lee Pryor, gave Rhino the go-ahead to put his material back out there. So all six of his Warner Brothers LPs, including the classic 1982 album Live on the Sunset Strip, can be downloaded from iTunes individually or as one big bundle. Spotify has the albums reportedly ready for streaming. And if you've never heard Richard Pryor do stand-up, if you only know him as an actor from Silver Streak or one of his movies, whatever, it's a whole different breed of
I've only
cast.
Heard clips. I've never heard...
What?
Yeah. I've never heard. I want to.
Genius.
What?
I will say
that...
So
was that... time, were you busy that one time when you had little things to do and you couldn't hear Richard Pryor?
Right.
I will say that anytime you we've interviewed a comedian or you see a comedian interviewed as to influences, it's almost always Richard Pryor and or George Carlin. Those seem to be the two that have had the greatest influence.
Well, they reinvented the format. That's why. I mean, Carlin, with his use of words and you know, thought process, it sort of invented observational humor. And then Pryor was the quintessential comic storyteller. I mean, to be able to tell you a story and inhabit the characters and to act it out and perform. I mean, everybody from, you know, Eddie Murphy and all those guys took cues off of what Pryor did.
And then there was Carlos Mencia, too, as well. Those are the big three.
Who actually took all of their material, wasn't influenced by it, but actually performed it, I think, in various locations. So there's a lot going on there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Vance Joy, he's a singer. He's 28 years old today. Speaking of singers, Janelle Monáe turns 30 today. Akiva Schaffer from Lonely Island is 38. Brad Delson, Linkin Park guitarist, is 38. They still have a rapist in that group?
I think.
Because they went on the news. They said you got to lock your windows, lock your doors.
Lincoln Park is a rapist in Lincoln Park. It was in the news.
It was a place. Lincoln Park was a place where that was happening. It was not the band.
Lincoln Park's a band, Kevin. I think working on K-Rock, you would know that.
I'm saying
it's not a place, it's a band.
There's a band, there's also a place.
Right.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park.
Right. Ralph is on the news, Kevin.
Ralph was right. It was right there.
I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid, but, you know, you should keep up to date, when, especially when it's a K-Rock
band. I'm saying that Lincoln Park is a place, as well as there is a band named Lincoln Park. They're not the same.
Can you get the EPA involved, maybe? Is it?
I think we should get the EPA involved. Brad Delson, who I do not believe is a rapist, he is 38 years old today. He wasn't the one. It was one of the other guys, right?
It was none of the guys. It was a place. It's a place. Lincoln
so
Park
they
is
were
a place.
Falsely accused?
No, no one even...
Did they sue? Because I would be upset if someone told me that, and I wasn't.
It's just, it was a place.
Like beer mug. You got one fact, and you're just going to go back to it.
Stick
to
it.
Sarah Silverman is 45 years old today. Singer-actress Bette Midler is 70. John Densmore, drummer for The Doors, 71 years old, and director, writer, actor, comedian. Another guy, if you've never heard his stand-up, find that on someplace, too, either CD or vinyl, or I don't even know if they're available on iTunes, but his original stand-up comedy acts, Woody Allen. Very, very funny stuff. He's 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Falk Henschel coming into the studio.
Do it.
Watch your mouth.
Do it.
Do it,
Hawkman.
Ralph.
Do it.
Hawkman.
That's Hawkman.
From Legends of Tomorrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, and also the big crossover episode of Flash and Green Arrow.
Now, I don't want to embarrass myself tomorrow, Ralph, so Hawkman is a thing? He's a thing? It's not
no,
a new...
Bean. Hawkman is coming in to say he's not a thing.
He's not a thing. He's a cloud.
No, what I mean by
he's
that
a formation
is,
in the clouds.
He is a comic book superhero that has a history. He's not a new creation
Jesus.
For the TV shows.
Hawkman's
right?
only been around, I think. Think since 1940, Bean.
Okay, that's all right. Well, that's why I haven't caught up to it.
He's pretty new. Yeah, it's a flash in the pan,
and the noise that he makes again is.
And he fights crime, or he is a bad guy.
Oh, sweet Jesus! He's one of the great superheroes. A member originally of the Justice Society of America, the Justice League, when he got rebooted.
All right, so he's a good guy.
He's What's the man who invented Booyah.
And he invented Booyah.
That's true. What's his superpower?
Well, he can fly. He's got a giant wingspan.
Talons?
Okay. Sometimes he wears talon gloves. He's also an expert in ancient battle techniques and weapons, like the mace.
Okay. All right.
Well, I feel like Bean usually does some of this research off
on
the
his
air.
Own, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
looks it up for
but being teamed up with Kendra Saunders, of course, Hawk Girl, who's already appeared.
Does she
on.
Still make the? Does she make the same sound?
A little higher, because
a little
she's
higher.
Hawk Girls are like.
Wow, that hurt.
Did that come out of your mouth?
It did.
Oh wow. Man, that hurt.
That
Allie just made that noise.
So many angry dogs right now.
We have another Miss Double December contestant coming in tomorrow. We also have Kevin Smith on the program. We will see you tomorrow. It must be the.